The biggest thing that we are targeting for is flexibility in every way. So not just parents, I said parents because I think also men are watching more and more of the kids, and that helps also us keeping the loyalty of the people. So they really want to stay with the company because they got benefits that they do not have somewhere else.
Welcome to Get Inspired, your podcast to feel connected, empowered, and inspired by real-world role models and their stories of managing parenthood with successful careers. Joining us today is Melanie Lauer, who was instrumental in rebuilding the sporting goods company Kettler almost from the ground up. She used the opportunity to incorporate values like flexibility and diversity into the corporate culture from the very beginning. Asking the questions is Ricarda Engelmeier, founder of My Collective and the host of this podcast.
So our speaker and our guest today is Melanie Lauer. Melanie, welcome to My Collective. I'm really glad that you're here.
Thank you very much.
And yeah, it's great to have you. And we've already been chatting a little bit, but let me introduce you, because Melanie Lauer is the CEO of the Schweizer Trisport AG. And that basically stands for Kettler here in the EU. And Kettler, most of you might remember it as the brand from the 80s and the 90s, the sports gear and sort of bikes and a lot of other things in the sports field that maybe you or your parents sort of in the 80s and 90s had. And Kettler also went through some rough times and a couple of insolvencies over the years. But the brand has remained and changed and transformed. And transformation is exactly what I would like to speak to you about today, Melanie, because you didn't only transform the brand, but also transforming a culture into a work culture that fits now for a modern company and also obviously for our focus group parents at work. And I think that's what I would love to talk to you about. So welcome and thanks for joining.
Thank you very much.
So Melanie, why don't we start right away with what the transformation process actually means for you? And maybe we'll start with a brand, because that's what everybody knows. And can you let us know a little bit how this works? How do you transform a brand?
Absolutely. So when we started this project of giving Kettler a second life, we first were looking at the brand value itself. And we were aware that Kettler had a brand value of around 92%, which is a lot. In Germany. So almost everybody in Germany knows the brand, and also outside of Germany. We knew that the brand was always standing for quality, for a lot of trust, but it became old-fashioned and it has lost its DNA of being an innovative brand. And this is what we decided to bring back to the Kettler DNA. When we started this activity, we started by zero because we only had a long-term purchasing agreement for the brand rights, but not for the whole company. This was good at the one hand because we were able to start from scratch, so really set up everything from scratch on without any heritage that we had to take over. At the other hand, we had no production, we had no sales teams, we had no contracts with customers, we had nothing. So it was kind of a startup thing to do. And at the other end, we had this little company called Trisport AG that was existing for more than 15 years as a standalone business and was before part of the Odlo Group that you might also know from outdoor clothes or outdoor fashion. And this company was only used to import sporting goods and selling it as a distributor within the Swiss borders. So there were brands such as Nautilus, Bowflex, Schwinn that you might know. So really good cardio brands. But as I said, it was not an international company. And coming with the acquisition of the IP rights, we had to change that as well. So from the company existing out of 10 people, we radically had to scale up the HR inventory, which means the people in the company. And we had to make a kind of a cultural turnaround because it was not anymore the nice Swiss customer that we are talking to and the areas that we felt comfortable in. So we had to look in more than 36 countries that we are working now with, which was kind of a scale up. And we were not only importing goods, we were also now from that moment on creating goods, producing goods, developing goods. And this was probably the biggest challenge.
Yeah, so it's not only the brand, it's the structure itself, right? So if you create new structures and a kind of startup structures from something that actually was a rather national or local sort of business, how does that work in terms of culture? I mean, we here at My Collective, we talk a lot about changing the culture of corporates. So now you actually had the chance to create structures in a new way. How does that come along? Are there elements of the old culture that comes along? How do you change that? And actually, what's even more interesting is where do you want to go? What kind of cultures in companies? Where are your role models? What kind of company cultures that you see around you? Where did you want to go? Where do you take your guidelines or inspiration from?
I would say a lot comes from gut feel. So we are looking at what people really want and what they need. And the biggest thing that we are targeting for is flexibility in every way. So just to mention you some examples, we are flexible in where people are working. So for example, I got one colleague and he just moved to Spain because he thought Spain might be a nice country to live in. We offer sabbaticals for our people. So we had one of our colleagues and she said she wants to take some time off and she wants to visit New Zealand. And New Zealand is quite far away, so only going there for 3 weeks is not enough. So she received a sabbatical for 3 months. Or we had a mom and she was in a difficult family situation and she needed some time break and some more flexible working hours. She said, I cannot work during the day because I got this thing going on in my family. We said, that's not a problem. You can also work in the nighttime or in the early morning. So flexible working hours for most of our departments. And the next thing is also flexible working time in terms of seasonal influences. So we have a seasonal business. So most of our business is happening in the winter time. So what our colleagues are using now, and also, by the way, a lot of moms are using right now, is that they work over shifts or overtime in the winter and then work less in the summertime. So some are working 120% in the winter and then just 80% in summertime or even less. So not just parents, I said parents because I think also men are watching more and more of the kids. That helps everybody of us, and that helps also us keeping the loyalty of the people. So they really want to stay with the company because they got benefits that they do not have somewhere else.
So, I mean, that now you mentioned the parents, right? So we focus on parental leave and on how you return to the career track. Now, talking to you as the CEO of this company and as a mother of two, you clearly made it back to the career track. Can you share maybe a little bit of how this worked out for you?
Well, I personally did not have such a nice experience. So I was working for a big corporate company with 1 billion turnover. So I had two children. The first child was born by my wife. So I didn't have to stay, or actually I did not stay at home that long. I just took 2 months off and there was the first obstacle. They said, oh, you can't do that, but we wouldn't recommend you doing that. This would harm your career. But fortunately, I had a really good CEO and he said, Melanie, you do that. If you want to do that and I stand behind you. So I did it. And then came the second child that was born by me. And there it really started. So being honest, I didn't have a really nice welcome. So my CEO has changed. There was another one now in the position when I came back. I took 1.5 years off. And actually, they wanted me to prove that I'm still the same manager that I was. Which was because they said, oh, you got a different situation now, a different life situation. You wanted to prove first, and then we can talk about progress again. And that was the reason why I decided to leave and to look for another chance. And what was really nice, so when I had the first conversations with the Triesport AG, like the advisory board, I had a lot of job interviews at that time, and that was the only company that didn't ask me, how do you manage it with your kids? And then I knew, besides the fact that I love the brand Kettler all my life, and then I knew that's the right place to work for.
Yeah, it's crazy how this is such an important decision-making time. And it's if you during that time are not treated in the right way, it clearly sort of frames your decision. Whereas also the opposite is true, right? So If you do receive a promotion right after your parental leave, this is something that sticks to your mind all the time. And whenever I speak to people and they say, oh, I got promoted right after my parental leave, they kind of glow up, and it's something that that they do remember and positively attach to the company. So I think it's a really important thing of sort of how this is treated now. And now you've already, as you've said before, you changed the framework that within your new field of influence and sort of locus of control, you could call it, at Kettler, you are going to do things differently in terms of framework condition. What do you think are the skills that the employees who have these kind of framework conditions are bringing on the table, or more specific, the parenting skills that could potentially also come back into the workspace?
Yeah. I think so. What I realize, and you might also realize in your personal life as well, is as a parent, you're so well organized. So you live with a calendar, you sleep with a calendar, whatever. So everything is structured, and this is what parents also bring into their professional life, and personally me as well. We all know that it takes a big bunch of work to organize family life and business life. So the efficiency definitely grows, the loyalty grows, and what I personally, my parental skill that I developed is that I learn to explain things better. So whenever I talk to my colleagues, I take the time to explain things to them, to make things more understandable in order to get them on track with me. And that really helps a lot. And of course, also setting borders in a different way that I did it before, and give people enough freedom and responsibility in order to grow. And this is also what I do with my kids. If you don't give your kids freedom and responsibility and trust, they will not grow. And this is something that my lesson learned, I guess.
Yeah, and that's really interesting, because you know, it's not only setting borders, but also this kind of target group oriented communication, which actually is something that makes a lot of sense. And in our case, it's also, it has a lot to do with empathy that you can kind of integrate into your leadership. Melanie, thank you so much. Thank you for being so honest and open with us. I hope you do stay for a little bit of question and answer session with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.